This is the show.
Out in the hall, one of the senators talked to me and he said, "You guys are doing great work, but we need the revenue."
At ToddTaxpayer.com.
Just like the pioneers who settled the great state of Nevada before it was a state, after being lost in the desert for months, the Nevada Vision Stakeholder Group has hit quicksand, a squishy place they did not expect and are unsure on how to get out. Now, this is not the responsibility of the chair or the members of the group. That very expensive decision to the taxpayer was made by Democrat State Senate Majority Leader Stephen Horsford. He is the person who sent these people on a mission to create an academic reason to raise current taxes and create new taxes in Nevada. Now, the most difficult part of this mission is convincing the voting Nevada taxpayer that there is a need for a statewide income tax, a gross receipts tax, or some other magic tax that will make all these difficult decisions the next legislature must face easy. Nobody wants to make the tough decisions. Sorry, that's just not possible. Just ask anyone in Nevada who has lost their job, is upside down in their home, upside down in their investments, and can't pay current taxes. Where are they supposed to get the money? Nobody at the Nevada Vision Stakeholders Group is asking this question. It's not even in the report. The report they have drafted after months of meetings is, in the words of the $250,000 Moody's consultant, quote, squishy, unquote. Surprised? Listen for yourself.
The issue here is that the reason it feels kind of squishy and open is because I'm kind of squishy and open. I don't, to be able to figure out what consensus we have here, you know, I'm just trying to read it, the group, and say, well, you know, what do most people feel here? You know, and a lot of people aren't necessarily as vocal as others. So the reason it's squishy is because it's certainly reflecting a squishiness on our part in terms of trying to interpret. So really, that's my main concern at this point, too, is you know, in terms of the larger document, it's going to have a lot of the same squishy sense, except for it's going to be bigger, have more details for folks to latch on to and holler about than was you know, available in this very shortened version. So in terms of the, you know, the process going forward from here, I'm afraid that, you know, in 2 weeks, if I had sent out to both the public and the stakeholders here a more detailed but still squishy report over this, what I think people like, you know, we're going to be largely in the same place.
Kay, I just want to know one thing. Who's responsible for this? Is anyone accountable for this blatant waste of taxpayer money? How did so many state government employees find time away from the office to be members of the Nevada Vision Stakeholder Group after complaining endlessly about losing money to the state for balancing the budgets? You know, a great example is the county manager of Washoe County, who is a member of the Nevada Vision Stakeholder Group. You know, there are also two assistant county managers in Washoe County who cover the manager's job when out of the office. Does Washoe County really need two assistant county managers during a time of budget cuts? Just so the county manager can go lobby for higher taxes and new taxes at the Vision Stakeholder Group. Another example of the taxpayers' merry-go-round, a government employee spending tax dollars trying to raise more tax dollars. Don't be too shocked, ladies and gentlemen. It happens all the time. But don't make the mistake of assuming there is waste in the system or more efficiency that can be found. Hint, hint. You know, the chair and the members of the Vision Stakeholders Group know they have nothing but a squishy report. And that's a quote. and are doing everything they can to meet the deadline in July. Listen to the attempt to find a way out of the quicksand and produce something of value to the Nevada taxpayers who funded this project. That is quickly becoming irrelevant to what is really happening in Nevada today.
We need to defend why. We need language that says not just economic diversification because we think it's neat, but the tangible benefit of these. We need narrative indicating, because we're going to forward this to a legislature. And if I were in the legislature and I got this sort of vaguish document about, gee, wouldn't it be neat if these things existed? Well, lots of things would be neat. We need a little bit of oomph in this document to say, look, this helps a lot if you get it. And we need it by the categories that people around this table have indicated, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the final part of the report is doing this, like I say, trying to quantify it, trying to get an idea of how these things rank. And the returns to education is a very easy one. Some of them are going to be a little bit harder to quantify or whatnot. It's not going to be as, you know, certainly we're going to need to do some work here, and that is going to be a very important part of the report. What I don't want to set you all up to believe is that we're going to come up for all of these, some of them non-pecuniary things like crime rates and whatnot. It's going to be very difficult to come up with a SAGE commission type. Here is the budgetary cost. Here is the amount of, you know, revenue you're going to get back for all this stuff. Because our task is broader. We're not just looking at particular legislative acts and what we can do to reform them. You know, we have a broader, you know, task, plus it's a broader group. We're not just talking about business individuals here. We have labor interests and the like. So, you know, our document is going to be in a lot of ways a little bit less tangible than we'd like, because these quality of life measures aren't always easily quantifiable by economists like myself. But that said, that's really where we're going to add the value. You know, that's what we do best, is taking this stuff and trying to get some kind of regional economic return or some kind of regional returns and give a sense of which we feel are the big deals and the little deals. But that said, it's pretty obvious from this group that the big deals are pretty much agreed upon both by us and the numbers. I mean, it's pretty easy to see where the large gaps are. I'm trying to get my mind around it as we sit here, right? Part of the reason of distilling this stuff down so far for today was that it was a finite set of things to vote on. In an entire document, which is, instead of the 20 pages you have today, is 40 or 50 pages, then, you know, we could delve into some wordsmithing could take days. So I'm a little concerned about this.
But what I think what I'm getting at, though, is this. See, I think there's a squeamishness on the part of group members to vote on something because you're not showing your math homework. It's kind of like you just came up with a number. It says six. You know, what's behind the number six? And so I think there's a hesitancy to affirm this collectively because you're not showing the work. We might get to something as boiled down as that. The problem isn't that you've given us something that is small enough to vote on. The problem is we haven't seen the background by which you got to the smaller piece to vote on. And I think, you know, I'm not a voting member, but if I were a voting member, my concern would be, I don't know where this came from. You know, and I don't see where you boiled it down from this larger text and you don't have some of the even supporting documents with it. So what I'm suggesting at this point is, when you come back to us and you give us and you send this out for, you know, for us to look at, that you make this kind of connection as best you can, given these constraints, from how you got from A to B. Show as much as you work. I don't want it to be a cumbersome thing, and we can trim it later, but enough to where you indicate, and I think a point, too, made well by Alan was the symmetries here. We need a symmetrical document to vote on. We need, and Alan's right about active voice, we need a set of very clean, almost axiomatic propositions that we know what we're getting from, and they don't include a kind of, you know, there's a little bit of a kumbaya feel to the report right now. You know, like we're all going to sit around, you know, my wife laughed about that. She's like, you know, you're the head of some hippie report, she told me. She thought it was great. She's like, because she doesn't, I don't think she sees me that way. She sees me a little more hard-headed in that regard. And I don't want a hippie report, basically, is what I'm saying. I want something where it is, and there's nothing wrong with hippies. And they should come to Las Vegas. And
thank you. I appreciate not being categorized that way.
Yeah, I'm in a tie today, so, you know, put on my beads later. Emerge as I really feel I am.
So this is documentation that the consultant who was hired by Democrat Majority Leader Stephen Horsford cannot produce anything truly tangible. Nothing that the 2011 Nevada legislature can act on outside a Christmas list of spending. Nothing even close to what the Sage Commission did. A complete failure. You know, professors at the University of Las Vegas can easily spot the student who is unprepared, lacks the facts, or just throwing out opinions without substantiation or solutions, when they turn in a term paper that indicates a real lack of academic rigor, a squishy report, or even a hippie report. You know, the fact is, people who live in the hippie culture actually know more about the real world and how to survive than the members of the Nevada Vision Stakeholders Group. More than they can even imagine. Most hippies completely reject the idea of government involvement in their lives, often live communally or out of a bus. Are great entrepreneurs creating, you know, modest wealth, selling things like corn chip sandwiches in parking lots of the next show. Now, look, it's not a lifestyle everybody chooses. And most, quote, hippies eventually move on to a more mainstream life, you know, occasionally slipping back, listening to music on the way to work each day. You know, once again, the Nevada Vision Stakeholder Group really don't know what they're talking about. Just sounds good. A group of hippies sitting around the table would come up with equally productive or even better ideas than this group will eventually turn into the Nevada legislature. You know, you're probably thinking, how bad can this situation get? Well, there was the suggestion by the Vision Stakeholder Group on the need to increase philanthropy and the need for rich people to die. Okay. You want the proof? Listen.
We do know as a share that giving is relatively modest here.
Yes.
And so we could at least report that. As far as, you know, infrastructure development, part of that comes with the maturation of the economy and people who then made wealth in the region feeling identified with it. And I think a good example of this already is Kirk Kerkorian is a big giver of the region. And so, you know, there's going to be future folks in key industries that also, you know, make that contribution. What a city like Cleveland has or Pittsburgh, despite the fact that they're in a kind of relative stasis or in decline in the case of Cleveland, is that they've just had 150 years of rich people. And they left these big foundations and somebody invested well. And that's something which is not going to get in the short haul. In other words, that's not something that is our fault. It has to do with the newness of the place. And Phoenix faces the same kind of issue. And it means that we have to be extra certain that we're very careful with what we do with resources. Because, you know, part of what does cover for, you know, the fact that there is contraction going on in governments around the country is that that philanthropic base is an extra additional capacity in older cities like St. Louis, for example, you know, where Robert Brookings founded Washington University and the Brookings Institution. So we could indicate that we would expect within 20 years or so that there would be more folks making this contribution, if there's no objection to that. But in the short haul, there's not a lot we can do about that. You know, we can hope. We can expect it. We can promote it as an idea. But we basically need rich people to get to the end of their life. So if any of you are getting really rich out there, you're on deck.
I think it was at about this moment at the last meeting that even Democrat State Senate Majority Leader Stephen Horsford started to have his doubts. A few weeks ago, Democrats in the Nevada legislature created a committee on savings and government efficiency, SAGE. because they already know nothing like that is coming out of the Nevada Vision Stakeholder Group. And Nevada taxpayers don't want another Christmas list from another government study group. We just don't have the money. Stop telling yourselves that we do.
You've been listening to The Show at ToddTaxpayer.com.
Am I done? Am I finished?
If you have something to say, call 877-932-4WEB. That's 877-932-4932. And leave a comment for The Show.
There was a shoebox with a phone book in it.
And the kick in the can thing.
Okay.
No one envisioned
The Show at ToddTaxpayer.com.